Hey, Karen.
How are you?
I'm fine. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. It's been fun to be acknowledged, that's for sure.
How could you not be for Palm Royale? Let's face it.
Well, I know. The whole show is pretty spectacular, I think,
Well, the beautiful part about it, though, is everything works synergistically. The hair, the makeup, the clothing, the overall color palette, everything, without one of those elements, it will not be as effective.
combination, definitely all kind of it all worked together.
And of course, for you, 1969, that's such a fun period of time to do anything for. Hair, costume, set dress. It was just so transitional. So you got to have the free spirit, hippie-esque look of Laura Dern's group of people, even bringing in some Afro hairstyles, which is when they really started to become prominent. You've got the upper echelon, the helmet hair Evelyns and Raquels, and of course, Maxine, who changes on a dime depending on what she's trying to fit into. Just an amazing job, Karen. And I don't think I've ever seen this much hairspray used anywhere except on my mother's head.
Trailer, even to make it look like there's no hairspray. So, yeah, but yeah, definitely is very structured for some of the characters. The whole vibe of it was great because each character kind of had their own look. And Allison and Laura both have their own personal hairstylists, so they really went to town with their looks and wigs. And then the rest of the cast, I put together big boards of ideas, and Abe was very hands-on. He was he had a lot of vision, and we tried to give him that vision basically.
What were some of your primary influences for the various hairstyles?
I did a lot of research, but we had a lot of pictures from Slim Aarons, the photographer who did a lot of Palm Beach back in 1969. His pictures were amazing. In fact, one at the very beginning of the show, there's one background artist, featured background artist. She was a model or a dancer. I found a wig and matched the exact same woman, this woman that's pretty famous in a lot of his photos that is by the pool. So that was fun, and we got to see that, and I got to see the whole thing put together. It was fun to see it all come to life. And then Kristen was based off of Abe mentioned Sharon Stone. He wanted her to be a little bit of a Sharon Stone, not Sharon Stone, sorry, Sharon Tate, Sharon Tate character. And Kaya was just Kaya. She was like this hot, beautiful young girl with just lots of hair and really fun. And Allison Janney, Jill Crosby did her and kind of did like an Esmeralda, kind of like just she could be bigger than life because her character was so strong. And then we did for Leslie, Dinah, the Dinah character. She was based off an old actress, plus I think Leslie really liked the idea of the Jackie Onassis kind of look. So she was just very polished and dark, sleek hair.
One of your standouts also is what you ended up coming up with for Julia Duffy, who has, she, like Kristen Wiig's Maxine, they really have a never-ending change of their hairstyles.
She was fun because she really got into it after a while too, our actress. And we had various hair pieces, just and then just got busy with like little hair pieces and little like accessories to accentuate her kind of eccentricity, mm-hmm. I guess it would be. And then she went and became a hippie at the later dates. But yeah, she was fun. We had fun with all of them. They were,
you know,
with the background too. We had all like these. I brought in all these women that they're all my mentors, and they lived the era, and they wanted to work on the show because they were enjoying themselves so much because they got to do hairstyles. Because a lot of shows now, you don't do hairstyles, you mm-hmm. do, you know, beach waves, or just, you know, a lot of shows require it to look more natural and just like easygoing. So it's fun. It was fun for all of us.
No, your hairstyles here, everything, it's very purposeful. It's very structured. Even, you know, even the flips, when Maxine yeah. has her hair in flips, that's a lot of rollers. Typically in 69, there'd be a lot of, you know, big rollers. You'd comb it out and then lacquer it with hairspray.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you got a chance to really embrace and dive in to all of these different looks, because they help define the character. And these are women that I don't think, unless you grew up in the era or you had a mother that did this from in that time period, these are women that would go to the hairdresser at least once a week, every week without fail, to have their hair done.
Yeah. The thing that saved us, a lot of the women had wigs, so mm-hmm. we could get things ready ahead of time, because we literally shot so fast, and Kristen would have like 4 or 5 changes in a day sometimes.
Yeah.
We'd have to just add pieces or switch wigs, and made it a little easier, but we still had to have all prepped for us at every moment, you know.
Well, the big episode that I guess you submitted for Emmy consideration is episode 4, Maxine Rolls the Dice, with the incredible Havana Nights
yeah.
party. And one of the things that I really appreciate in there is not only do we have very distinctive looks for the principals, including the Carmen Miranda vibe for Maxine and her headdress of fruit, but it's all the background dancers and people at this party. When you start looking in the background, take your eye off the foreground and actually see what's happening in the background. Not only are you seeing a lot of Brooke's amazing work with the choreography and the dancing, but you're seeing the costuming and the hair on all of these yeah. people. I stopped trying to count how many background people there were.
Yeah.
How daunting is it for you when you have that many people? And I'm noticing that some of the women that are there in the background, they are of a more mature age. So
mm-hmm.
their hair ain't moving.
Yeah. Yeah, we had I had a team of 4 people full-time, not including the personal hairstylist. And I had someone who organized the background and made sure they had all like hair pieces and accessories, and we just made sure we always had enough people to do all these hairstyles. And I was so lucky, like so many of them just were phenomenal hairstylists that just enjoyed doing it and came and hung out with us. So I was really lucky that way. And we worked really close with wardrobe and, you know, our costumes, and they sent us pictures of the ideas for background and for all the actors, so we would kind of think ahead of time of what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, Abe was amazing. Everybody was amazing. I felt like I was able to have a lot of freedom in what I felt would really suit everybody. So that was fun.
It just looked so spectacular. And, of course, you got to do hair for Carol Burnett. Or a wig.
Love her. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got to meet up with her one-on-one because I had to do a little bubble. You do a thing called a bubble to measure her for a wig.
Mm-hmm.
She just had so much history. She told me on the Carol Burnett show that all her wigs were made by one gentleman, and I can't remember his name. Forgive me for that. But he was phenomenal, but he would come and put the wigs on for her and stay for the whole show, which is such an old Hollywood thing. It doesn't really happen anymore, but luckily I have a great wig maker who just killed it, just kept churning them out for me, whatever I needed, really fast.
How many wigs did you have in play on Palm Royale?
Gosh. Well, Kristen had 5 different wigs. They were all kind of the same. They just were ready to either go up or down.
Mm-hmm.
And Dinah had 1, but with some extra hair pieces. Mary had quite a few hair pieces. She didn't really have a full wig. We tried to use some of her own hair because it was more comfortable for her. I know Allison Janney's character, I feel like Jill had 3, possibly. And she would just stack them on top of each other. She was great. She was super creative. Laura Dern had 1, beautiful, because she was the hippie that just always just looked beautiful, long, you know, hair with bangs. And so in total, maybe like when we have stunt doubles and when we have our character at the dress shop, he wore like a little toupee that was just slightly off. He had a wig. It's probably like 20, 25 wigs total.
For the principal.
For an extra wig. I have a lot of stock and we would get wigs ready just for the background in case they didn't look very inappropriate. So we just throw a wig on them.
And of course with Kristen, you've also got her floundering in water. Not in episode 4, but later on. So that takes its own toll.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's always challenging for a wig. We have our really handmade real hair. You just have to really take care of them. It was a lot of work to try and make sure that everything stayed in shape.
How many hours a day did everybody spend in hair and makeup?
Gosh. Well, the mornings, at least 2 hours for each actress. The men could get away with maybe 45 minutes to an hour, but we would have an hour in hair, an hour in makeup. With the wigs, we would get the wig. We would get their head ready. We do it as a wig wrap, and then they'd go to makeup. So, and then they'd come back, and we'd put the wig on, and it was styled, and then they'd get dressed and go to set. We had early call times. Definitely came in the earliest. Stayed the latest.
Obviously, so that you could prep all the wigs and the hair pieces for the next day. Once you got them off the heads. You brought up another key element here, because it's not just the women that are so defining. It is also the men's hairstyles. And that, I loved seeing that. Because you take a look at Ricky Martin and you see how closely shaved down his hair is. You look at Josh, who can slick it back. It can be loose and floppy. You've got some really interesting men with what you had to do with the hair. Any specific influences for each of them?
Well, for Ricky, he was in the military or Navy, so we figured he could keep his style. He liked to wear his hair naturally pretty short, so we went with that and tried to get rid of his blonde color a little bit because he had some highlights. He was great. Like, his hair, I mean, he's Ricky Martin. He's beautiful. And Josh, we put sideburns on him, I believe, because he had another show that he'd go back and forth. And the actors had a lot of say in what they wanted, too, so we'd always work with them and come up with something that they love and that we love, and it was fun. We used a lot of Brill Cream, old-fashioned stuff, yeah.
So great.
All the products.
All the products.
Yeah.
How much were you? Did you bring in the dippity doo and all of that fun stuff?
Close. We did. There was this old fat, this setting lotion that we used on the wigs before we would set them. It's been around forever, and I can't remember the name of it. But it's blue. It's like a blue liquid, and it literally will just hold the curls in and help us achieve what we were doing.
Oh my God!
Our hairspray, though, mostly hairspray.
Lots of hairspray.
Lots of hairspray.
I was wondering how much time you would get out of each hairstyle before you would have to refresh it? Or did these, be it wigs or natural hair, did they make it through a day, or was touch-up and perhaps some hairspray refresh required?
My whole team, we each had actors that we watched. I pretty much only had Kristen because she was in everything. Stand by the set, watch a monitor. We see something out of place, we run in, we fix it. We have irons set by their chairs in case some curls fall. So we were calling, it was an all-day thing. It's an all-day touch-up process, basically. And then, you know, when we do changes, we would do a big touch-up on a new look.
And, of course, then you had all your background players.
In the background. They got touched up, too. We had a group of people that would go in and touch them all up right before we shoot.
Wow.
We had a lot of people. It was big.
I'm familiar with your work from your prior works, WandaVision, the second Doctor Strange. So you're used to working in fantasy elements. This seems to be even Ghostbusters Afterlife, you know, working on Paul Rudd. You're part of the reason he looks perpetually youthful. But so this seems, Paul Morreale seems custom made for you to step in and head up the hair department.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because it seems that you really have an affinity for. Especially, you look at something like WandaVision, you're covering multiple decades and different hairstyles. So,
that was definitely a challenge.
I mean, at least here, you're in 1969.
Yes.
But for some flashbacks to the 40s.
Yes, yes.
Not in this episode, but throughout the series, we do have flashbacks there as well.
Different wigs, different hair color. Kristen had a different hair color. I think Laura Dern's was a little different as well. It was fun.
Tiring and fun.
I had no idea how it would come out. It was just a whirlwind. I literally would just get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, and like just do hair, constantly do hair. And all the other things that come with, you know, reading the script or the updates of the script. And
did you?
I had really great people that worked with me that were, you know, I couldn't do it by myself, that's for sure.
How early did you start formulating your approach to Palm Royale?
I think it was maybe a month or a month and a half before we started shooting. I started getting wigs made and actors getting their head wrapped. And it would go to my wig maker, Natasha. And then collecting pictures, making boards for myself, for production, the creator. It was a big process. It was a big process. And Trisha, the makeup artist, and I, we worked really close together too, so she would always go off whatever I was doing on their hair, you know, and try to match with the makeup. She was amazing. She made the wig. Like that, having wigs on different people with different hair colors that they're not normally that color.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup is so important because you can do something just a little off and it makes the wig look like a wig, you know. Like sometimes I think she had to change Kristen's skin color a little bit just to give her that glowy tan, you know, that no one has anymore because it's not good for you.
What is the most gratifying part of your work with Palm Royale? As extensive as it was, as many people, because I think with all your background players and all, this could be one of the largest projects you've ever had. But what is the most gratifying aspect of doing the hair and working with this collaborative team on Palm Royale?
Seeing it all put together on set, like a lot of the big parties were the best part because we would work so hard to get it all together. Because there was almost a gala almost in every episode. It was really hard to pick which episode I wanted to put up. But that was gratifying, seeing it on the monitor, seeing how well it all just came out and went together. It was, and then also seeing the show after it was, you know, after it, when it went on air.
Yeah, I imagine it had to be difficult to pick between episode 4 and episode 10 for you.
Yes, yes.
Because
those were the two I was trying to decide between. But I felt like there's a little more, there was more changes in the episode 4 than 10. 10 was just one look, basically, for all of them.
Episode 4, I think you made the smart choice, Karen, because episode 4, we've got Maxine in court. We have Robert in jail. We've got them bringing Norma home. So you really do have much more diversity. So I think you made the right choice to
Thank
showcase.
You. That makes me feel better. I was like, oh gosh, did I pick the right episode? You know, it's just a hard thing.
I think you definitely did. You definitely picked the right episode because of the multiple emotional aspects and scenes that we've got. So, just an amazing job. Now, are you coming back for season 2?
Sure am. I sure am.
Yay!
Would let me not. I'm excited. Now that we know, and I pretty much have the whole team, the same team, so it'll be even more dialed in, hopefully. Because it was fast. It was fast and furious. I had no idea how big it was going to get, like, at the beginning. And we just attacked it, and hopefully it all showed on camera.
Well, I think it definitely did. Every hairstyle was very, very period perfect. I bought it 1,000% that we were in 1969.
Nice. I'm so glad. That was our goal.
Yeah.
I think it was the whole show's goal.
Well, from beginning to end, it truly was immersive, transportive, immersive, and just looks spectacular. So, Karen, job so well done. And again, congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed, toes crossed for you. But,
yeah, I mean, it's hard. There's so much talent out there. It's just nice to be recognized because I've been up for Emmys before, and, you know, it's hard to win. But I'm just happy we got nominated and noticed.
Palm Royale got noticed a whole lot with Emmy nominations.
A whole lot. I'm so happy. That's so exciting. It really is.
It must have been the Dangling Mermaids and the Carmen Miranda fruit on the head. That has to be it. That has to be what did it.
Oh, fun.
Karen, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me about Palm Royale. And hopefully we'll get to chat about season 2.
Yeah, that'd be great. Definitely. I'll have more to tell you.
Yay! Karen, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.